With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Willette. Montana's Republican Senator Steve Daines says calls for resignations and the impeachment of President Donald Trump aren't helping the country heal after a mob of pro-Trump extremists stormed the U.S. Capitol last week. Yellowstone Public Radio News's Kevin Trevelin spoke Friday with the senator about how he views the mob and the aftermath.
Good. I'd first like to say that I'm glad to hear that you and your staff are safe. First, do you mind just walking me through what happened at the Capitol? Where were you when the mob breached the building?
Yeah. Well, it was certainly a very dark day for democracy and for our country, and we grieve with the families of those who lost loved ones, particularly Officer Sicknick, and as well as those who were injured. But I was in the Senate chamber. We were moving through the process of certifying the election with the electoral vote certification. Vice President Pence was presiding over the Senate, and suddenly one of the Secret Service agents came into the door of the Senate and motioned the Vice President it's time to go, and they took the Vice President away, and you could hear kind of muffled voice, protest voices, shouting and commotion, but it was quite a ways out. Of course, they weren't in the building then, but you could hear it. And so we all knew something was going on. You could look on your phone and see the images, but it wasn't long after that when the security teams then interrupted the proceedings and worked to secure all the doors in the United States Senate. And there's the first level of the Senate, and of course there's a gallery, and there's doors on both. And so they locked down the Senate. They told us all to stay there, as well as our staff members, and there were members of the press that were all held there. We waited there probably for a half hour or so. It might have been less than that, I don't really remember. And then there was a couple of security agents open the doors up and says, let's go. Come on, we're going this way. And so they evacuated the Senate. It reminded me of a fire drill. Everybody was remaining calm, but moving quickly. That was both senators and staff. And we were taken down a hallway there and then down some steps into some tunnels that are part of the Capitol complex. And then we were taken to a secure location in the Capitol complex. And I remember one of the first things that we did is after members were phoning their loved ones, after we were phoning to make sure our staff were okay, anybody that has staff members on the Hill, is Chaplain Barry Black offered a prayer, and Republicans, Democrats, with heads bowed together, as he prayed for a resolution of the violence, for the safety of those on the Hill, and then there was a discussion not long after that about perhaps moving senators to a remote location. And both
sorry, Senator, I'm going to interrupt you there. I know your time is limited, and I want to cover some ground, so I'm going to ask another question. Okay. I apologize. I'd like to talk to you about this all day, but we're hearing words like coup and insurrection to describe the mob's actions at the Capitol. I'm just curious, how do you categorize those events?
Well, they were criminal. No ifs, ands, or buts. These are criminals. And it doesn't matter what particular political persuasion one has. I don't care what color hat they have or what flag they're flying. They were criminals. And we must hold those criminals accountable for their deplorable actions. These criminals do not reflect Americans or the vast majority of Trump supporters who stand against violence. And I am thankful for the Capitol Police, for Secret Service, for the FBI, who did the very best job they could to keep us safe, and I'm grateful for them. But these are criminals, and I hope they are prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the language used by President Trump and some Republicans, including from your campaign, about stealing the election, do you think that language fueled the attack on the Capitol?
The individuals that did this, they came to Washington, D.C. With the notion of being of creating criminal acts, and so there's dangerous rhetoric from all sides, and I condemn all of it. It doesn't reflect who we are as Americans. I reject, extremism from either side, left or right. And the vast majority of Trump supporters, the vast majority of Montanans, they don't support this. And now is the point in time where we've got to take the temperature down. And I'm concerned about the rhetoric I'm hearing today. Calls for resignation of members, calls for resignation of the president, calls for impeachment. There's 12 days left in President Trump's term. Now is the time to take the temperature down, to de-escalate. And in 12 days, President-elect Biden will be sworn into office.
And your point's well taken, Senator, but I'd just like to return to some of the campaign materials in particular. I have a campaign email from you that solicits donations by saying, quote, "Democrats are desperate to steal this election," unquote. And the email includes your pen signature at the bottom. I'm just wondering whether you think some of that rhetoric possibly has a role in sowing distrust in the electoral process, which was, I think, kind of the contention of these people who stormed the Capitol.
Well, we've all become, I think, too cavalier in believing that it's very easy to distinguish between campaign fundraising hyperbole from the work of actually governing. The reality is there were dark money groups bragging about changing election laws in a belief they could gain 1% to win battleground states. And that's why we need some election reforms, not only to protect our elections from real fraud, but also to protect our elections against the perception of fraud. And when we're talking about putting together a commission, and by the way, that commission needs to be put in place going forward, regardless of the fact we didn't get agreement to get that done this week, we need to move forward to put that commission in place because it's important to restore trust for the American people in the electoral system. And to separate out some of the truth from the fiction. There's fiction out there about what happened in this election, but there's also facts. And transparency and bringing that to light and debunking the fiction and elevating the truth and the facts and then allowing the states to act on that is what I think needs to happen. Because if you look at the polling numbers, 31% of independent voters think the election was rigged. Nearly two-thirds of Republican voters thought it was rigged. Nearly 20% of Democrat voters thought it was, quote, rigged. That's sad fact. And let's get the facts out and debunk that.
Right. And I have just one more question on this, then I'll move on to another topic. But you mentioned the kind of reality of campaign hyperbole. I'm just curious whether you think the everyday supporters who did receive your campaign text messages and emails about the election being stolen, do you think that everyday folks kind of understand that something may be fundraising hyperbole?
Well, I think it's something for everybody to take away as looking at the way campaigns are managed. It's just I think both sides, and you can look at whether it's Democrats or Republicans or independent parties, I think have become too cavalier in believing it's easy to distinguish between campaign fundraising and hyperbole. I think versus the work of governing, I think that's something that that both sides should take to heart.
Mm-hmm. And moving on, you had announced that you intended to challenge electoral votes from Arizona unless election results were audited. Can you talk about why you decided to change your mind and then certify those votes?
Well, remember the challenge is what we call the objection. And that allows us to have the two-hour debate. I never want to put myself in between the electors of a state and their voters. And that is what Congress would have done if they would have rejected some of the electors. That's not the role of Congress in the certification process. The role of Congress here is to make sure the electors are duly chosen and certified by the states. But it was never about overturning an election, never. That's the states make that decision. If we were to elevate that to the Congress, that'd be a very dangerous thing. For what our founding fathers founded this country on. It's allowed the states to have primacy there. This notion somehow that Vice President Pence could overturn the election, that's flat out false. He can't. That's not his role. His role is to preside over that body. So what we were trying to do was to get the two-hour debate, which we did. And we were able to make those points on the need for a commission to restore electoral integrity. But I wanted to make sure we had a moment of unity, particularly coming off of the horrible events of Wednesday. So when it came time to actually vote on that objection, I voted no. I think that was an important moment here to work to take the temperature down.
Mm-hmm. And when the mob did start breaking into the Capitol, do you think President Trump did enough to stop it?
Well, I saw a statement that he made rejecting the violence and so forth. And that's something that all of us joined in, making statements as quickly as possible to demand the violence were to stop. There's going to be a significant audit and reviewing what happened minute by minute on Wednesday, because I think there's going to be a new way of thinking about security for the Capitol. I'm sad to have to say that, but we have to condemn all the violence, but then we also need to look for ways here to ensure that what we saw happen here on Wednesday never happens again.
And on that point, looking forward, are you worried about more violence surrounding the presidential inauguration later this month?
Well, I just hope that both sides to turn the rhetoric down, take the temperature down, and these calls for resignations, it's not helping. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you this: I hope that President Trump will reconsider him going to the inauguration. I think it'd be a good thing if President Trump were there. And you look at the history of our country over 230 years, we have had a peaceful transfer of power in every election. And that's something that other countries look at us, they're envious of the fact that the most powerful person in the world, which is the President of the United States, we have a peaceful transition of power. And I hope and pray that'll happen again on January 20th. We're 12 days away. And I think both sides need to take down the temperature and move away from this rhetoric and this finger pointing at the moment. There'll be time here to fully investigate what happened on January 6th. We need to have investigations on the security procedures, on what caused this. But the bottom line, this is criminal activity. There have been people killed and hurt. And so we need to have a bipartisan investigation. In fact, I'm right now working with, just before I start speaking with you, working with a Democrat colleague, Brian Schatz, Senator from Hawaii. We spent time together as we were in Washington, D.C. after the horrible events of the 6th. And we're going to work together to be looking at what we need to do here, for example, to better secure the Capitol. That's the kind of things we should be working on. But these calls for resignations, for impeachment, when there's only 12 days left in the president's term, I don't think that helps the country. I think it hurts it further.
Right. And when you...
Hey, Kevin, we're going to have to wrap up here.
Okay, time for one more, or is this, you got to go?
I'm going to wrap it up quickly, please.
Okay,
go ahead. Let's do one more.
All right, yeah. I appreciate it. You've mentioned a couple times, you know, the need to take the temperature down. I'm just curious what exactly that may look like and whether you think any of your own rhetoric maybe needs to change, whether it's from your office, your campaign, or you personally.
Well, over the course of the next 12 days, first of all, I think I'd like to see these demands for impeachment, for resignations of senators, of House members, of censorship they're asking about, that's just taking the temperature up. And I think this is a time to send a message of unity, coming together, not in any way to diminish the seriousness of what happened on January 6th. But we're about to have a transfer of power following an election. President-elect Biden's electoral votes have been certified. We got that work done, even though these criminals tried to stop that process. We rejected it. We waited until the Capitol complex was clear. We came back late that night. We worked into the wee hours of the next morning, and we got it done. So I just hope that both sides will take the temperature down in the next 12 days and send a message of unity. Hey, there's going to be spirited debate about the issues throughout the course of the next year. But over the course of the next 12 days, let's take the temperature down and come together as a nation.
Right. Well, Senator, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for speaking with us today.
You bet. Thank you.
That was Yellowstone Public Radio News' Kevin Trevelyan speaking with Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines.